Precious Jesus. Jesus, how I love.
How I love.
How I lift.
How I lift.
Hide my voice. With your praise. Holy Spirit, I implore thee. Grace. Let's do that again. Precious Jesus. How I love. How I lift. Hide my voice. With your praise. Goes on to say, Holy Spirit. I implore thee. My lips, part your grace. Let's move on. Let's say, I am persuaded. Worship you. Now let's do that again. Say, I am persuaded, Lord, to love you.
Yeah.
Most gracious and heavenly Father, we're just so grateful and thankful for you this morning. We thank you that you've given us this opportunity to return a portion of what is all yours, Lord. Lord, we thank you and we praise your holy name. Now, Lord, we ask that you use these gifts to further your kingdom here on earth. We ask you to bless those that gave and really bless those who weren't allowed to give. Just let them know and remind them that sooner or later, it's going to turn in their favor and they'll be able to return to you what is yours. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious Father, I come now asking that you would help me to decrease, that you might increase to your people, O God. Bless, O God, the word that's being spoken today to the Lord. Keep, direct, and lead. Forgive us for our sins, O God. And bless, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's good to be here. It's good to be here. Our scripture, and I'll just take a portion of it to read to you from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 3, beginning with verse 3. And he, John the Baptist, went into all the region around Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. For every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. And all the flesh shall see the salvation of God." You may be seated. I'd like to share with you for a little while, and you know I'm not going to be long, so don't go to the bathroom, you'll miss it. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. I thank you, Reverend Harvey, and the Mount Olivet family for giving me this opportunity. Thank you. The word Advent means coming or arrival. The focus of the entire season is the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. The hope of Advent is the world recognizing the presence of God in its midst and moving from earth to life, from despair to hope. We are called to be a people of hope and anticipation. And in Advent, we are called to live out that hope in things that we do and say. Alice Walker has said, "Unless you live as if the world you imagine already exists, the world you imagine will never exist." Advent is more than just marking 2,000-year-old event in history. It's the celebrating of truth about God. It's the revelation of God in Christ, and it's the reconciliation of man to God. Advent speaks to accountability. Advent is a season of waiting, expectation, and reflection. The word Advent means coming, and in Advent we await the fulfillment of God's promise. We await the holy evening, so we can celebrate the birth that happened over 2,000 years ago. We await the birth of the Christ child into our lives, into our families, into our church community. Advent joins together our present and future expectations about the reign of God. Advent prepares us. It keeps our ears, our eyes, and hearts for the inbreaking of the saving presence and power of Almighty God. Advent is about the joy-filled anticipation of change. Just as a newborn baby changes almost everything about a family, everything about how they live and relate to one another, so the advent of this God with us changes us, or should change us. What kind of changes are we talking about? The book of Isaiah speaks of a radical change in the way nations relate to one another, a radical change in the way that people relate to one another. If Christ has done something in your life, there should be a difference, a change. Things that you once did, you don't do anymore. Places that you once went, you don't go anymore. God's message came to John as it came to the Old Testament prophets. John the Baptist is now in the New Testament, the Isaiah voice, crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. It was a custom before a king made a journey to a foreign land that the roads he would travel were improved. Likewise, preparation for the Messiah was made in moral and spiritual ways, which focused on repentance, forgiveness of sin, and the need for a Savior. John the Baptist was a man of anticipation, courage, dedication, and a vision. Today, that voice still echoes to us as we prepare for the coming King at this Advent season. Prepare ye the way. What is your purpose for the Advent season? Well, Walter Burghardt, a well-known scripture scholar, reminds us this holy season has four-point purposes. He offers us a different way to think about this season of Advent. Have you given much thought to Advent? First, these 3 weeks, he says, enable us to remember. We remember that firstborn Jesus Christ and then the ultimate price he paid on the cross and the hope and promise of the resurrection. Remember. Remember your first love. Some of us are still looking for our first love. Could it be we remember the number of Advent wreaths we've hung? Could it be you recall a loved one who is no longer with us? Could it be that you remember the bicycle under the Christmas tree, the candy and the canes, their home? I remember as a child reading the Christmas story. That was my job, to read the Christmas story. As presents lay awaking, waiting to be opened, the radiant smell of cakes and pies, bacon, and the family that filled the house. I remember. Advent invites us to remember who and whose we are. Advent invites us to remember Christ, who came as a little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. Then secondly, Bernhardt reminds us to repent. By repentance, we mean turning from one thing to another. John the Baptist was about a message of repent, repent, repent for the forgiveness of sins. Maybe you may say to yourself, I read my Bible, I pray, I attend Bible study and Wednesday night prayer meeting. I have no need to repent. But as a nation, we need to repent. Do we need repentance as we allow 43 million mostly working people to be without health insurance? Or over 2 million to be out of work? Do we need repentance when our veterans are desolate, homeless, and hungry? Do we need repentance as we discover a high rate of childhood poverty in America? I say yes. America, we need to repent in this day and time. reminds us to recommit. For the harvest is still plentiful and the laborers are few. Recommit. Some of us don't recommit because we haven't committed the first time. But the word still remains true. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. We need to recommit today to go to Bible study. Recommit to go to usher board meeting. Recommit for prayer meeting. Recommit to speak to your sisters and your brothers. Recommit today. Thomas and Sam Rayner in Essential Church states that the church needs sowers, prayers, and warriors. Churches need paid people unafraid of the gospel boldness. Churches need a body of believers unafraid to ask the Holy Spirit into their community. Churches need to take hold of the charge. Oh, we need to embrace the psalm that says, a charge to keep I have, a God to glorify, who gave his son my soul to save and fit it for the sky, to serve the present age, my calling to fulfill. Oh, may it all my powers engage to do my master's will. A charge. We are charged to walk together, to pray together, and to treat each other as sisters and brothers. We are charged today, Mount Olivet. Advent is a season during which we remember. We repent. Advent is a season in which we recommit. And then Advent is a season where we rehearse for the final victory, coming of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:52 says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the last trumpet shall sound, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The question is, by one songwriter, shall you gather at the river where bright angels' feet have trod, with his crystal tide forever flowing by the throne of God? Oh, I hear the songwriter says, yes! We'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. We'll gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. Will you be there?
Oh, yeah.
Our total being should be to praise him, to rehearse our praise. For he died and rose that we might be free from sin. Psalms 150 is a song directed to the believers. For the lost cannot praise him as Lord of their lives. But we, the baptized believers, can unite together in song. We can unite together in praise. Praise, for he's worthy of all our praise. He's worthy, for he's an awesome God. Worthy to be praised because he woke us up this morning and started us on our way. Worthy because he puts food on our table, clothes on our back, a shelter above our head. He's worthy. Oh, we ought to rehearse our praise down here. David says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of trumpet. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with string instruments. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to let no rocks cry out for me this morning. For I'm going to praise him. And when that time comes that I'll never study war no more, that time will come when I'll put my sword in the sand of time and study war no more. I don't know about you, but life for me ain't been no crystal staircase. Layton Hughes says there's been rocks and rails. There's been turmoil in my way. There's been carpet where there ain't been no carpet. It's been bare. But oh,
a risen Lord. You don't mind if I call his name, but he's a savior above saviors. He's my bright and morning star. Savior, deliverer, healer. Oh, he's a mighty good friend when I need one. He's my God. He's my everlasting Father. He's my Prince of Peace. Oh, who wouldn't serve a Savior? Who wouldn't serve a Savior? Oh, Christ came, he hung, he bled, he died, and he rose that we might have a gift to the tree of life. Advent directs us to remember, repent, recommit, and rehearse for his coming time.
The doors of the church are open. The doors are open. Praise.